It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The Green Bay area is expecting upwards of 250,000 people to turn out over the 3 days of the NFL draft that gets underway tomorrow.
And such an influx of visitors could also heighten the risk of human trafficking. That is, the recruitment of people and the selling of people for sex.
Anti-human trafficking advocates have seen examples of that happening when other cities have hosted the draft. This time they're trying to proactively address it in Green Bay.
Earlier this year, the Brown County Board awarded $20,000 to the nonprofit organization Awaken Wisconsin for human trafficking prevention and education efforts in the lead up to the event.
We're learning more about the efforts on the ground in Green Bay and preventative measures that can be applied in any community.
Keisha Klaus is Executive Director of Awaken Wisconsin. Keisha, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How serious of an issue is human trafficking around an event like this that's billed as a family-friendly atmosphere?
Yeah, so obviously the commodification of a human being should never be something that's normalized and is a very, very serious issue. What we've stated for the past year leading up for the draft is we know human trafficking has existed in our state, in our county before the draft. It will continue to exist during the draft and will remain after the draft. And so we truly hope this is a catalyst to bring awareness and education on this issue as a whole. Obviously, there's controversy on, is there actually an increase or a higher demand for trafficking during large events like this? And for our community and as our organization, we've just held to the stance of it doesn't matter whether there will be an increase or not. What we do know, again, is this issue already exists here. So why aren't we going to do the preventative measures to make sure this is a safe event for everyone? What harm can it do bringing more awareness to this? But then in addition to that, if you think about what the result would be if we didn't do preventative work, it could mean someone's life. And so why not take those extra measures just to make sure this is an event that everyone wants to be in a positive light for Green Bay? And we're really excited to have it hosted here.
What lessons have you been able to take away from NFL drafts held in other cities?
So when we've done some research leading up to Green Bay hosting the draft, we did call other service providers similar to what we do here in Brown County and what we noticed and heard from them. And so we feel like frontline experience and anecdotal data also have a very important lens when collecting stats on what it could look for. And they stated that there was concern in emergency services and a higher prevalence of outreach services needed. And so that's where our focus really has been, one, on prevention, and then two, on what emergency services will we be able to have available here in Brown County.
What might emergency services look like? What do you know so far?
Services for emergency cases would be shelter is always the biggest need, not only during the draft, but outside of the draft. So we have worked with certain hotels to solidify some housing during specifically draft days. We also worked with another nonprofit that was able to donate their Airbnb for the weekend of the draft. So we would have the availability to have emergency housing during the draft. And then we know basic needs. So having our Awaken Center available for shower utilization, food readily available, a warm place to stay. We are working with local law enforcement as well in case there is an individual who's wanting to report something or a situation. In addition, we're working with nonprofits across the state and even the nation. We have a nonprofit that is coming in and provide safe flights actually outside of the state to certain programs, again, providing them a way out if they wanted it, but also security and safety if needed to be out of the state.
You know, sometimes communities may shift blame or shift the focus of trafficking and see it, you know, an issue of larger cities like Chicago or Milwaukee. How common is human trafficking in the Green Bay area when it's not hosting a major event like this?
So the DOJ, Wisconsin DOJ, established a report in 2020 that stated 72 counties in Wisconsin have reported some form of sex trafficking. 72 counties. There are 72 counties in our state. So that means every county has had some form of trafficking reported. I know specifically for us, we service the Brown County area and some surrounding areas, but our focus is Brown County. Since June of 2022, which was our inception, we have served over 190 women, 11 years old being our youngest referral, 69 being our oldest. Our average age served is 28 to 29 years old. Mm. We are estimating about 5.5 new referrals a month.
Mm. Wow. Do you have the resources to adequately address this issue? Because you also received $20,000 from Brown County Board to fight human trafficking ahead of the NFL draft. What are the circumstances like with your funding, and what has it allowed you to do?
Yeah, we were so excited about the county providing those funds, because I think in addition to just alleviating some of the funding concerns, it allowed the population we serve to know that our county sees them and hears them and wants to support them, especially during what could be a time that, you know, housing is more restricted. Law enforcement is going to be pretty inundated as well. And so knowing that there are additional services available and funding may not be a concern is huge. But out of the 20,000, 10,000 of it was going for preventative services, which we've been able to do, host many trainings and education classes within our community. We've been able to work with businesses and training them, providing flyers that are specific for service industry employees, again, giving them the most common indicators, as well as how can they assist, what could they do, localizing efforts. And so working with 6 different nonprofits to make sure we are all supporting each other and can kind of provide better wraparound services. We have koozies that have been distributed, as well as drink covers to prevent date rape drugs to be hopefully less prevalent with that protective factor. But on those koozies and those drink covers are QR codes that link to Awaken's website that, again, gives the most common indicators. And so really having the best preventative tools out there that we could, letting individuals know that there are services available for this population.
We're talking about human trafficking prevention efforts at the NFL draft in Green Bay. We have Awaken Wisconsin Executive Director Keisha Klaus with us. Keisha, in your interactions with businesses in leading up to the NFL draft, what types of involvement and partnership are businesses giving to you as you look to address this issue?
The businesses have been very receptive. Overall, they actually have said, I can't believe we've, as a community, waited this long to bring awareness to this issue. For us, that was pretty powerful. And so a lot of businesses don't really know how they could be engaged. Besides, I think monetarily, they feel limited in their resources. But when we've been able to be creative, for example, we have Chick-fil-A donate meals to our peer support groups and our celebration nights. We've had larger corporations donate toilet paper and paper towels, and again, helping to meet those basic needs. But so importantly, too, is educating your employees. And so a lot of these businesses, especially financial institutions, can be on the front lines of recognizing these indicators. And if they don't have the education or awareness, they may slip right past them. And so training hospitals, training financial institutions, banks, anything of the credit unions, and then just hotels, motels, gas stations, restaurants. This is more than an Awaken issue. It's a community-wide issue. It's a state issue. And so really, it's going to take all of us being more vigilant in reporting and noticing, being able to better identify survivors, and then knowing who to call, who are the resources locally that can help step in and provide these wraparound services.
In terms of those wraparound services, you mentioned emergency housing, emergency shelter to assist human trafficking survivors. And, you know, housing has been a big issue with the NFL draft, mm-hmm. and where people are staying. Can you talk more about shelter and the issue of housing?
Sure. And I think that is that issue with housing affects so many other populations and nonprofits. And so it's something as a community we're all trying to collaborate on and see what are additional resources that we can offer. We partner pretty closely with the homeless shelter here in Brown County, as well as other shelters available. But obviously, there also can be barriers. So if they don't qualify for services, or if they, you know, have a severe felony on their record that would prohibit them being able to have shelter, that's where we've seen the biggest limitations. So again, as an organization, just for the draft, we have a safe home, but our usual services do not include having the ability to have shelter. So we are really reliant on other organizations that is their focus, and we can partner with them in the housing service and being able to offer that.
Recently, we talked with the executive director of the Women's Center in Waukesha about some of the challenges that come up with helping human trafficking survivors. Let's listen to Angela Mancuso and what she had to say.
A lot of times, traffickers are really good at ensuring their victims have criminal activity. It's a means of keeping them there, right? So it might be solicitation, tickets, could be drug charges, something like that.
So what kind of things can you do for a trafficking survivor in those circumstances who might be worried about getting in trouble with the law if they leave?
So we have a great relationship with our local law enforcement. And so we created an Awaken Helps facilitate a multidisciplinary team. And so on that team is, again, local law enforcement, FBI, Wisconsin DOJ, CPS. And through cases like that where there are barriers, and if it really is a small warrant for someone getting safety and receiving services to be able to leave this life of exploitation, a lot of times they'll work with us and partner with us. We had a case in which we were working with the individual, and between law enforcement, our district attorney's office, her probation agent, we actually were able to have her time served at a program, and she graduated. The judge actually ended up closing her case and saying, you know, you did all the work, you put in all the effort, and you really have received such strong restorative care and services that we, you know, we're willing to dismiss this case. And so I think if your community can get creative, especially in individuals that are willing to put in the work and change the outcomes of that lifestyle, it really is that collaborative effort that makes the difference.
What happens when you view human trafficking as well through a public health prevention perspective versus a criminal justice point of view?
Yeah, so I think our state as a whole, we have struggled with providing more relief for survivors under the law. And so a lot of states have taken the lens of being able to offer vacatur or expungement with collateral charges. So currently in the state of Wisconsin, we only provide vacatur for solicitation prostitution charges. But as stated in that recording, a lot of the women we work with have additional collateral charges. And so a lot of states have allowed for that vacatur on certain collateral convictions if they can prove that during their trafficking, that is when they received those convictions. And so because of their trafficker or at the whim of their trafficker, mercy of their trafficker, some of these charges were put on their records. If they can prove that trafficking existed during that time, they could be vacated. And so that's allowing a lot of relief for these individuals because many of the women and girls that we serve, they do have extensive records, and that bars them from being able to on the restorative lens of things, get adequate jobs so they can be self-sustaining. So again, creating another barrier. And so I think from a legislative standpoint, we do have some improvement to make on that systemic change.
Turning our attention back to the NFL draft here, what are some of the common red flags that people should be aware of, even if they're not going to be in Green Bay for the draft?
Sure. So with the draft specifically, the indicators that we're most commonly expecting, but what we see even outside of the draft are dominating individuals. So if there is a person that is not able to make decisions, that seems like a third party has control over them, they're more evasive and elusive when being asked questions or making eye contact with that dominating figure, that would be, you know, something that definitely should allow someone overseeing the situation to ask more questions or just possibly report. In addition, if there are individuals with large amounts of cash, gift cards, hotel keys, those can be indicators as well. And then if an individual is coming to Brown County and they may actually not even know which city they're currently in, could be an indicator. And then appropriate dress. And so obviously weather appropriate outfits is another indicator. So there's quite a few, but those would be the most common ones that we are highlighting just for individuals to be acknowledged of and insightful of. And then the most common one that would hopefully be most apparent would be physical injuries to a person. So any bruises or, bite marks or anything indicating physical abuse.
Human trafficking can be so difficult to measure, as you said earlier, with precise statistics. But mm-hmm. how will you determine whether your efforts for this weekend are successful?
So we are big on data because we believe data tells the story. With the population we work with, obviously, there's a lot of trauma involved. And so it is never our story to tell. It's never our journey to share. And so that can be really difficult and helping people understand the women and girls we work with. And so data is one of the ways we can say, okay, the most common pathway of entry into sex trafficking in our area is familial trafficking or through relationship. And so through those stats, we're able to communicate that to our community and say what we see most commonly endured here. And so I think during the draft, we're taking that even to a next step of keeping stats that we wouldn't normally keep. And so we use a data base called Apricot that is VOCA and VAWA approved, and it allows us to be able to pull reports. And we specifically, especially working with the county and the funding we've received, we want to see what efforts worked because we already have Philadelphia, I believe, is the next hosting city. And so they've already reached out to us and said, hey, we've seen your preventative efforts and we love what you guys are doing. Do you mind sharing with us after the fact, again, what you saw most commonly, what seemed to work, where your biggest barriers were? And that was our heart going into this is, you know, we called other hosting cities and there wasn't much available. And we thought, man, that's such a missed opportunity. And how can we help the next hosting city do better or learn from our mistakes? And so we want to be able to provide that not only for our own community, but in future hosting cities as well.
Keisha, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for this conversation.
Sure. Thank you for having me. And awareness is such a vital tool in this effort. So we just appreciate what you guys are willing to do as far as reporting on it as well.
Keisha Klaus is the executive director of Awaken Wisconsin. She was with us to share her nonprofit's efforts to prevent human trafficking during the NFL draft in Green Bay that gets underway tomorrow.
Coming up, mark the 125th anniversary of Wisconsin's state park system with a visit to our oldest park, Interstate, in northwestern Wisconsin.
In this area right here, we have lots of glacial potholes, with Wisconsin, as we always like to say, having the world's most perfect pothole on our side of the river.
That's next on Wisconsin Today.